you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, our contact information. You probably have this already, but just in case, equip.org on the web or via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go right to the phone lines today and talk to Alex first in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Alex.
Yes. Hi, Hank. Back in 1990, in March of 1990, you said it's a very dangerous thing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that causes tragedy in a man's life. Why do you say that back then, back in 1990?
Why did you say what?
You said back in 1990, it is a very dangerous thing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. In your life. Yeah, I mean, it is a dangerous thing. I mean, Jesus Christ himself told his disciples that if they persecute me, they will persecute you as well. The servant is not greater than his master. And so the disciples were going to face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of 1,000 deaths. And if you look at what happened to the disciples, they died gruesome deaths. According to tradition, for example, the Apostle Peter was crucified upside down. The Apostle Paul died a martyr's death. James died as a martyr. And so you think about Stephen being stoned to death. So it is dangerous to take up your cross and daily follow Jesus Christ. But of course, Jesus Christ made a qualification to this danger when he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He went on to say, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." So there's a danger in this life, but we live not for mean earthly vanities, but rather for eternal verities. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gary. He's listening in Henderson, Nevada. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure. I know you tried to call yesterday, and I know we didn't get to you, so I was glad to see you back today.
Yeah. My question was, I wanted your opinion, because you don't have a set of commentaries, I wish you did, on N.T. Wright.
Yeah.
I told my pastor and some others that I wanted to study under him, particularly Romans, and they said that they didn't agree that I should do that.
And well, it's probably because of N.T. Wright's perspective on Paul, but look, N.T. Wright, just for everybody listening in, was the former Bishop of Durham. And that is being a bishop in the Anglican Church. Presently, he's the research professor of New Testament and early Christianity at a college called St. Mary's in the University of St. Andrews, Scotland, which is one beautiful place, particularly if you're a golfer. My son got to go to the University of St. Andrews and play golf at the Old Course, which is one of the great privileges, and he didn't have to pay anything because he was on the golf team. But anyway, I don't agree with everything that N.T. Wright teaches, but he is certainly to be regarded as one of the greatest living New Testament scholars. So I read him voraciously, just as I would recommend that others do. You know, I think we have to have discernment skills, so we eat the fish, spit out the bones. But quite frankly, I have gained enormous insights into New Testament passages by reading N.T. Wright. I always check everything out by the statements and teachings of the early church fathers, the Holy Fathers. But I have been very blessed by the Bishop of Durham and now the research professor of New Testament at St. Mary's College. His work, by the way, on the historical Jesus and the resurrection is particularly important. And I don't know of anybody that can write like he does. I mean, he is just a prolific writer. And we have all his commentaries here and oftentimes refer to them.
Okay, well, I don't have a set of commentaries. And like I say, I wish you would have written a set.
Well, maybe I still will. I'll see.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
My commentaries are actually in my own personal Bible, and all my kids are fighting for who gets that Bible when I die.
We don't want you to do that for a long time.
Well.
Because I listen to you regularly. I read your, like I said yesterday, I finished, you know, Apocalypse Cove. I have to read them two or three times, and I go over them because they're beyond my ability. But, man, I just can't believe how much knowledge that you have of the Scriptures. And I read what you said about John Higgy and some of the comments they make is just frightening.
They are frightening. It was interesting. Last night I had just gone to sleep and someone from the West Coast called me and said, thank you so much for getting back into talking about the flaws of the health and wealth gospel, which John Higgy is part of the health and wealth gospel. And I wondered, Kelly, when did I say something on the Bible Instrument broadcast about that? And then I all of a sudden realized, wow, I put up a set of videos that are actually forged around the FLAWS acronym. And I use that acronym, FLAWS, to point out the flaws in the prosperity gospel, which is insidious. Last night when someone called me about this, they were actually talking about how one of their family members had died, and the health and wealth gospel people came in and we're trying to resurrect the person from the dead. Where is the corpse? Well, the corpse is not here. The corpse is at the mortuary. Well, can we go there? And then they pile insult upon insult by making one guilty for the death of their loved one because perhaps they inadvertently said something like that tickled me to death, and they spoke death into the life of their loved one. So it is an insidious heresy, and it is embraced by all too many people today. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David in Federal Way, Washington, KCIS. Hi, David.
Hi. I wanted to say I was listening to Jan Markell, olivetreeministries.org. They're on KGNW instead of KCIS, AM 82 out here. They criticized you. They said that well, some guy was on, I forgot his name, but some guy was on as a guest on their station, and he said that he calls himself the Bible Answer Man. And, well, it's about that you don't...
Well, I don't call myself the Bible Answer Man. I make that qualification over and over again. I actually am the president of the Christian Research Institute, and we have a show called the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I happen to be the host of that show. And so a lot of people refer to me as the Bible Answer Man, but I don't refer to myself as the Bible Answer Man. And I oftentimes am a little...
Something like that. I heard I forgot his name, but he said, you know, he calls himself the Bible Answer Man or something like that. But then, you know, they're criticizing you on Jan Markell olivetreeministries.org. Sometimes you have Jill Martin Ricci.
Well, whatever. I mean, bless them. May God use them for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. I'm not familiar with the show, but I hope that what they do advances the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope that all people that represent Christ are humble and that they are truth seekers, and certainly hope that's the case in the case that you're describing. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As mentioned earlier, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And we're so grateful for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Thank you.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Karen in Duncan, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Enjoy your show. I listen to it just before I get ready for work. I had a couple of questions, but there's one in particular. I'm very analytical in my thinking, and I just drive myself crazy sometimes. You know, obviously, we just accept by faith these things and study the Word, and we all have questions, etc. But you were just talking about the sort of the heretical movement that's been taking place in the Christian domain, where they've been taught, for example, that, well, Jesus Christ was a man just like us, and he had the Holy Spirit, needed the Holy Spirit, etc., as we all do, of course, to do the works that he did. And so we're like Jesus. We can be like Jesus, you know what I'm trying to say? And
yeah.
And I think what it comes down to, my question here, what it comes down to is really the identity of Jesus, because, you know, people have different ideas about who he is. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses come, they're not, you know, not Christian faith-based, but, oh, he's an angel, and that new Christian movement saying, oh, he's just a man, just like us, who died and went to hell and had to pay the penalty and on so forth, and I'm so sick of it. But nonetheless, my girlfriend and I were talking about it because she was thinking about sort of going to that kind of a church, and I said, well, no. And we got down to the nitty-gritty of, well, was that Mary's egg that the Holy Spirit overshadowed, so that came from the lineage of David? Or was it when Jesus said, like, I've come from above, and, you know, Lord, send me, you know, a body thou hast prepared for me, and God used Mary's womb? Do you see what I'm trying to get at with that?
Yeah, and I think it's very, very helpful to go to the creeds themselves in this regard. For example, the Third Ecumenical Council, which was known as the Council of Ephesus, took place in 431. In that particular council, the church affirmed against a heretic who was a man by the name of Nestorius. He was the Archbishop of Constantinople. They affirmed against Nestorius that the Virgin Mary is and forever will be Theotokos, in other words, the bearer of God, as opposed to the heretical notion that she was merely Christotokos, or the bearer of Christ, who was a man in whom God dwelled as if in a temple. So without any equivocation, the council affirmed the apostolic truth that Jesus is true God and true man, and that therefore the Virgin Mary is truly Theotokos, meaning she is truly the mother of God according to his human nature. So where did Christ's human nature derive from? It derived from Mary. And this is one of the reasons that we have such an incredible reverence for Mary. When we talk about Mary, we're talking about the new Eve. The first Eve was deceived, but the new Eve conceived and bore a Savior. So just as there is a second Adam, so there is, if you will, a second Eve. And there was a time in history that was prepared for the coming of that second Eve. In other words, in all of the history preceding Eve, there was not one who we would refer to as all holy, immaculate, most blessed, our glorious lady, the Theotokos, the ever virgin Mary. We, as a result of the creeds, think about the ever virgin mother of our Lord according to his humanity as the new holy of holies, a way of referring to the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, think about the Ark of the Covenant. The holiness surrounding the Shekinah glory that had descended on the Ark of the Covenant was such that the Israelites were not even allowed to touch it. Were they to touch it, they would die. And so there's a holiness associated with Mary. Not that she wasn't born with a broken gene, but she was purified for the very act of being the mother of God according to the humanity of Jesus Christ. And that's not something that we should take lightly. Her womb had in some sense been made, as it were, into a temple. So for myself, as an adherent to Eastern Orthodoxy, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception is foreign to my sensibilities. It's not something that I believe in, and it's not something that the Eastern tradition believes in. But while that is true, the nature of the Mother of God was wondrously purified by the Holy Spirit, and that threw open the way of deification for the whole of creation. Which is to say, when we talk about deification, not that we become as God is in the Godhood, or that we become like God is in his essence, for God is ineffable in his essence, but we take on the energies of God. The energies of God mingled with our humanity. And so there is a mystery in the incarnation, certainly, but there's no mystery whatsoever if you follow the creeds carefully. And I think all of us should be familiar with the creeds. If you follow the creeds carefully, you realize that the creeds are very clear that Mary was Theotokos, the Mother of God, as to his human nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think there's something you said that I want to just, it just comes to my mind, something you said that I think is really wise. And there's a mystery that surrounds all of this. And, you know, this is one of the things I appreciate about the Eastern tradition is that there's so many things that are left in mystery. How can I, for example, explain that Christ is one person with two natures? It is a mystery. It doesn't defy the laws of logic, but it does transcend the laws of logic. So it's mysterious. If God were not mysterious, if he were not beyond the complete panoply of our knowledge, he wouldn't be God.
No, exactly. So it's really, you know, that walking by faith and trying to, you know, combine it with logic and it just leaves me baffled at times. And
it's, well, you know, Lasky,
I really like to go deeper and more, you know. I want answers. That's why we're calling you. That's why why your program. But it doesn't really matter to me, you know. I mean, I know in whom I have believed, and I walk in faith, and you know, he walks and talks with me in the garden, and on and so forth. But you know, when I see what's happening in the Christian world, and at what you just rightly said before the ad, the heresy, and the going to the grave, and that whole prophetic movement that's taking place, and he was just a man. It's like, no. No, we are not Jesus. We are not. It's just, there's such a fine line between what they're teaching, unless somebody really knows the truth.
Yeah, and to your point,
and understands to a degree that they can rightly divide the.
And to your earlier point, Vladimir Lasky said that Christian theology is always, in the last resort, a means. It's a unity of knowledge, subserving an end which transcends all knowledge. And this ultimate end is what I was talking about earlier. It's union with God, or deification, properly understood. Got to move on. Nice talking to you, Karen. David in Clarksville, Arkansas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Yes, Hank, long-time listener. I hear a lot of preachers today talking about how we need to forgive ourselves, and I think I understand what they're saying, and that is to accept the fact that you've been forgiven. But in a sense, some people, it just seems a little bit heretical to me. I don't know. I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, we ask God to forgive us, and I think if we ask God to forgive us, we can forgive ourselves as well. Now, that's not saying that we do not live with the consequences of our disobedience and our sin. And that's why David said, restore to me your spirit. And you know, the text goes on to say that a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So we must be contrite and broken over our sin. And if we are, we are not only forgiven, but we can go on living with ourself. If you want to call that forgiving yourself, I think it's an apt way of saying that we can put those things behind us and press on to the glorious transformation process that we are promised within the context of the body of Christ. I love what the Apostle Paul says. I've talked about it in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. But in this life, we can experience life that is life to the full, and as such, go from one glory to another with unveiled face. One thing about forgiveness that I always like to slip into a question like this is that forgiveness always requires two parties, someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right here next week with more answers to your questions. In the meantime, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote, The Art of Dying, to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.